It has been said that if you want a happy life, serve others. It's an interesting expression that I heard actually from a seminar that I went to on basically serving or having a heart to serve. And if you want to have a happy life, serve others. It is interesting sometimes that in our darkest moments, the darkest moments of our lives, if we can get our minds focused on serving God and serving our fellow man, how helpful that can be. It can be very, very helpful to be involved, and it is very helpful for us and to be able to serve God and to serve others. We are called to a life of service. That's what we're called to. We're called to a life of service. Let's look at a couple of scriptures in regards to this. Let's turn to Joshua, book of Joshua, chapter 24. I don't very often, or real often, turn to Joshua. Occasionally, we turn here at the end of the book of Joshua, the last book, last chapter. Joshua chapter 24, and we can read, we'll read verses 1 and 2 to begin with to kind of set the scene for us a little bit. Joshua, of course, is the man that followed Moses as a leader of the children of Israel. Or Joshua said, then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, verse 1 of chapter 24, and called for the elders of Israel, for their heads, for their judges, and for their offices, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the rivers, of the river. That, of course, if you look in the margin, is the Euphrates River. They dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. That was always an issue for the children of Israel. This serving of other gods, coming out of Egypt. We talk about that from time to time in messages at certain times of the year, maybe in the spring when we talk about the Feast of Unleavened Bread and Israel coming out of Egypt, and we go over those stories and those accounts in the Bible. We talk about those things some. Maybe emphasize them a little bit more at that time of the year, but it was always an issue for Israel to serve other gods. And it can be, if we're not careful, an issue for us. It can be an issue for us. We know that the first commandment in Exodus chapter 20 and in Deuteronomy chapter 5, first commandment of the 10 is, you shall have no other gods before me. And that has to do with putting God first in our lives always. Putting God first in our lives. So they served other gods. It says in old times they served other gods. And as we read through, and it's not my purpose today to go through this at all, but as you read through the books of 1 and 2 Samuel and the Kings and the Chronicles, that raises to the head all frequently how frequently Israel went back to serving other gods. And sometimes, you know, we know people who have left who effectively are serving other gods. And we have to be careful and recognize that as something that can happen to us. Let's drop down to verse 15 here in Joshua chapter 24. It says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord." Now that is an interesting statement, I always think, that if it seems evil to you, certainly wouldn't seem evil to any of us, would it, to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. You know, God, in his message, tells us that. Choose. You know, in Revelation, he talks about being hot or cold. I wish that we were one or the other. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm. He wants us to be hot. It says, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." But Joshua said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We will serve the Lord. I think that's a decision that we've made, haven't we? We've made a decision not to serve other gods, but to serve the Lord. We serve God. Remember this, the opening statement that I made: if you want to be happy for life, serve others, serve God, serve others. Acts chapter 11. Back to the book of Acts in chapter 11. In verse 22 and 23. Acts chapter 11, verse 22 says, "Then news of these things came to the ears of the church," Acts chapter 22 and verse 11, "came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. And they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch." If we drop back to verse 19, it says, "Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen," we know back, I think, of what is it, verse chapter 7 or so, where Stephen was killed, was stoned. Verse 23 says, When Barnabas came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all with purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. So they were, with purpose of heart, they continued to serve God with purpose of heart. You know, a lot is made oftentimes of service to country. Service to country is something that we hear from time to time. I know that I sometimes, on my way home from work in the evenings, listen to a talk show. And the talk show host, every day when he signs off, he has an interesting conclusion to his program. He always says, "And remember, when you see that police officer, firefighter, someone in the military, put your hand out, shake theirs, and thank them for their service." Thank them for their service. Now, we can thank people for their service and appreciate their service. We are called, you and I, are called to a different responsibility. We're called to a different responsibility. No one is saying to someone, you know, to when they see us, you know, "Put your hand out, shake theirs, and thank them for what they do." But we're called to a different service. But I think, you know, we do that to each other from time to time, don't we? I think that we thank each other for our service and our help. I hope we can. I hope we notice and take notice of people who set up the hall and tear down the hall and clean up and people who do those services. I hope we can and do appreciate those things. But the question I might ask us is, are we willing, or how willing are we to serve our country? How willing are we to serve our country? We are called to understand things that are very different. Mr. Guy mentioned that a little bit in the sermonette. I heard a sermon a few years ago in which this statement was made that I thought was interesting. It said, God's truth is amazing and inspiring and intriguing. To understand that we as God's people have our minds open to understand things that are very different. We understand things that are very different than the beliefs of most of the billions of people living on the earth today. We understand things that are very different. How willing are we? What's our purpose of heart? How willing are we to serve our country? Let's turn to John chapter 18. How willing are we to serve our country? John chapter 18 and verse 36. John 18 and verse 36. Jesus Christ answered and says, "My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now, my kingdom is not from here." Our citizenship is not, you know, yes, physically and technically, we are American citizens, or whatever country you might have been born in. Some people have dual citizenships. But in a spiritual sense, Christ said, "My kingdom, our kingdom, is not of this world." It's not of this world. Philippians chapter 3. Go to a couple more scriptures here before we get to some points. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. It says, our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. That is, of God's kingdom. That's where our citizenship is. That's the country that we are to serve, so to speak. That's who we are to serve, or who we serve. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're eagerly waiting for him, aren't we, to return to this earth and to set up his kingdom on this earth. And we're getting into the festival, into the season, where we begin to talk about that a little bit more. And the Feast of Trumpets is a little over a month away. Maybe just about a month away, I think. Feast of Trumpets, where, you know, that pictures, of course, the return of Jesus Christ to this earth, when he will be returning, the Day of Atonement, when Satan, you know, will be bound, kind of in line with Mr. Guy's first point, that we're not as powerful as he is, and we need him removed. And the Feast of Tabernacles, which follows in the middle of October this year. It's a little later this year. That pictures, you know, the ushering in of the millennial rule of Jesus Christ, and 1,000 years of Christ ruling on this earth, and the last great day that pictures, you know, the great white throne judgment and eternity after that. So we're going to be talking more about the kingdom of God and all the things that go with that, and it's a wonderful time of the year. But today, let's take a look at and consider our heart of service. Our heart of service. You know, we are called to a life of service. A life of service. Service to each other, service to God. We serve God, don't we? First and foremost in our life. So we're called to do and to be about. And it's not always easy. It's not always the easy path. Sometimes the straight and narrow path that we're called to is not always the easy path. Sometimes there are roadblocks and difficulties in our path. And we're, so to speak, in basic training, aren't we? We're in basic training right now, being trained. Many of us remember Mr. Waterhouse. He used to talk about that. I had a little conversation the other day with someone about Mr. Waterhouse. He used to talk about that. We're in basic training. And we have to be willing to give up everything. You know, I was talking to a number of years ago, several years ago, we knew a young lady that went into the military, went into the Navy, I think it was at the time. And I remember her mother telling me that when she went to basic training, she got a package with all of her things. Basically, she went wherever she went to training, and they sent back all of her things. And some of you maybe have been in the military, remember these things. And then they took basically all the things she had and sent it home, and they controlled everything that she did. And everything that she had. It's one of the reasons that we don't serve in the military is because, you know, we keep God's laws, and can't keep the Sabbath if you're in the military. You can't keep the holy days if you're in the military. They control what you do. We have to be willing to give up everything, though, don't we? To serve God. You have to be willing to give up everything. So let's start by looking here at a couple of examples of Scripture. Point number one, I have several points that we'll go over today. Point number one, Jesus Christ set the example. Jesus Christ set the example. We look at and consider that we're called to a heart of service. We're called to serve God and to serve others. Jesus Christ set the example. Let's look at 1 Peter. Look at a couple of scriptures in regard to this. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 says, "For to this you were called." To this you were called. Now, we can go back up and see what the "this" is. Verse 18 says, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear." Who's our master? Not only, verse 18 continues, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. That can sometimes be a challenge. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. So we're to be submissive even if our boss is harsh. Recognize that he is the boss. "For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully." What was the point we made a little bit ago? Well, we say it's not always easy. It's not always the easy path to serve God. "For what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently?" I always think this is an amazing section of scripture. Of course, there are a lot of them. I say that probably about every message I give. And it's an amazing set of scripture because it says, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. So Christ set us an example, didn't he? Christ set us an example. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. 1 John 2, 6. We have another additional instruction. So we're to follow his steps, as we read in 1 Peter 2:21. 1 John 2:6 says, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he, Christ, walked. So we're to follow the example of Jesus Christ. And then in Philippians chapter 2, Philippians 2:5, very scripture that we're all familiar with, I'm sure, have read, I know numerous times, have had read to us numerous times, I know for sure, says, let this mind be in you, which was also increased in Christ Jesus. So we have the same Jesus that the early New Testament church did. And of course, we're instructed then to follow his steps in 1 Peter chapter 2, and walk as he walked in 1 John chapter 2, and to have his mind in us in Philippians chapter 2. So we're to have the mind of Jesus Christ. So let's take a little glimpse into that with regard to this subject, the walk that Jesus Christ walked, the steps that we're to follow in regards to service. Let's turn back to a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42, of course, we're to follow his steps, walk as he walked, have his mind in us. He set us the perfect example of service, didn't he? Jesus Christ set us the perfect example of service. Here we see this prophecy in Isaiah chapter 42, where it says, behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. So here we see that Jesus Christ, and prophetically, is referred to as my servant. This is, of course, God speaking prophetically about Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says, he will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor will it cause his voice to be heard in the street. Of course, he was not, so to speak, a street preacher. Verse 3 says, a bruised reed he will not break. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. Again, the perfect servant. You know, he didn't lean hard on someone already bruised. A bruised reed he will not break. You know, we can see that example in John chapter 8, where a woman was caught in adultery, and he was very patient with her, wasn't he? He didn't condemn her. He said, in fact, neither do I condemn you, but, stop doing it. Stop doing it. Go, he said, and sin no more. So a bruised reed, verse 3 says, he will not break. Verse 4, very encouraging scripture. He will not fail nor be discouraged. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. He will not fail. Brethren, I always think that's an encouraging statement, because God has a plan. And we know the plan. We live the plan. Every year we go through the holy day season in the spring, in the summer, and in the fall. And we rehearse that. We go over it again and again and again. Because if we don't, what'll happen? We'll forget about it. We'll forget about it. Or we won't know. Or we won't remember. And we all know people who have forgotten about it and don't remember. But it's encouraging to realize that God made this statement here. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth. That's an encouraging statement for us. And the coastland shall wait for his law. Isaiah chapter 52. See another prophecy here in the book of Isaiah. I always think, I don't have it necessarily in my plans this year, but some years I read through the book of Isaiah. Certainly parts of it I will, but sometimes some years I've read the book of Isaiah before the Feast of Tabernacles, because before the fall holy days, because it's got many of these wonderful millennial prophecies in it that are so encouraging to us. And when we read a scripture like that that says, I will not fail, these things, sometimes, you know, we've been at them for a while and practicing these things and waiting for the return of Jesus Christ and the ushering in of the kingdom of God, or the millennium and the millennial rule, the kingdom of God ruling on earth. We've been waiting for that. Well, it's not going to fail. It's going to happen. And that's a very encouraging thing. Verse 13 of Isaiah 52. Again, we see this. Behold, my servant. My servant. Jesus Christ set the example. And God called him my servant. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Go back to verse 1. We can see that he knows in verse 50 of chapter 52 here. It says, awake, awake, put my strength, O Zion. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. God knows how to properly deal with people. Jesus Christ, as a servant of God, knows how to properly deal with people. Verse 4, back down to verse 13, we already read. We'll read verse 14. Verse 14 of chapter 52 says, just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the son of man. Now we know that story. We know the story, of course. We went through that as we went through the spring holy days. We know the story. God prophetically calls Jesus Christ in verse 13, my servant. So Jesus Christ, to recognize that Jesus Christ set the example. Let's turn into Mark chapter 10. We'll read the account in Mark. We could read the account in Matthew, but we'll read Mark's account here in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. God called Jesus Christ my servant. He is a servant. that we are to follow the example of. Mark chapter 10 in verse 45 says, Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served." He did not come to be served, but to serve. To serve. And to give his life a ransom for many. Now we read a little bit about that in Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 14. He gave his life as a ransom for many. So he did not come to be served. He came to serve. So Jesus Christ set us an example of service. As we look at and consider our heart of service, we can use him and recognize his example. He did not come to be served, but to serve. It's a very important lesson for us to learn from Christ's example, that we are to serve. We are here to serve, to be God's servants on this earth today, to serve God and to serve others. Point number two that I have, point number two, Jesus Christ walked the walk. Jesus Christ walked the walk. God called him my servant. He came to serve, and that's what he did. You know, and we know the story very well. He came to serve, and that's what he did. Philippians chapter 2, back to the book of Philippians. Now, we read a scripture there earlier, but we'll read in Philippians chapter 2 in verse 7. Philippians chapter 2 in verse 7. He came to serve, and he walked the walk. And so do we, don't we? So do we. We walk the walk, don't we? We're learning every day to do that a little bit better. Every day, you know, we get up and we try to be a little bit better Christian, a little bit better follower of Jesus Christ today than we were yesterday. We pray about that. We ask God for his guidance and his help. We do those things. Jesus Christ walked the walk. We'll get to that, a little bit more of that in a little bit. Philippians chapter 2, and I'm in Ephesians, that won't work. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7, "But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men." He walked the walk, didn't he? Go back to verse 5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We've read that. "Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself," again, "of no reputation." He humbled himself, as it says in verse 8. "Being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient." Became obedient to the point of death. He humbled himself. Humility is such an important aspect of this. When we serve God, when we're involved in serving God and giving ourselves to God, have the purpose of our heart be that of service, humility is an important aspect of this. We'll talk about that again a little bit more in another point and in a little bit. Humility is a term, though, that we use sometimes maybe lightly. Maybe we'll use the term a little bit lightly. But it is a term that's very important, and it is an aspect of our character that is very important, that we humble ourselves. Christ, it says here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, "being found in the appearance as a man." God, as in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient Do we humble ourselves and become obedient to the point of death, it says, even the death on the cross? Romans chapter 12, back a couple of pages here to the book of Romans, chapter 12, and verse 3. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, Christ humbled himself. He became humble. He walked the walk, didn't he? He did what he said he was going to do, but Christ, what God committed that he would do, and he did it, and he walked the walk. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, to not think of himself more highly than he ought to think." That's one of those challenge verses that we have sometimes. There are a number of them. A number of challenge verses that we've talked about in the past. Sometimes we have verses in the Bible that just kind of jump out at you and kind of challenge you and become are sometimes, you know, difficult to do. We've talked before about, you know, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That can be a very challenging scripture sometimes. This one can be challenging. It's sometimes challenging for us to not to think of ourselves as God thinks of us. Not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt with each one of us a measure of faith. To think soberly, Paul said here in Romans chapter 12. So Christ set us a tone here. Christ set us an example. He walked the walk. Point number three, we need to walk the walk. We, you and I, need to walk the walk as well, don't we? You and I need to do need to learn to walk this walk, as we said earlier, you know, that we consider our heart of service. That we consider our heart of service. We need to follow the example of Jesus Christ, to recognize that and follow his steps, to recognize that he walked the walk, and we need to have his mind in us. We need to follow his example and walk the walk also. Mark chapter 10. Back to the book of Mark. We read through this particular verse or part of this a little bit earlier, but Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. We did read this particular verse. We'll read it again in relationship to this. Says, "For even so the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom." To give his life. Are we giving our life? And the answer to that is yes, we are, aren't we? We give our life, don't we? We give our life in service to God and in service to others, and we would give up everything we have for that, wouldn't we? We would give. There's nothing that we would put before God, is there? We are learning to do that. We are learning that there's nothing that we would put before God, because nothing less than, as we read here in verse 45, is required of us. Nothing less is required of us. That we came here not to be served, but to serve. Romans chapter 12. Seems like Mark chapter 10, Romans chapter 12 are scriptures that we go to. We read in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. This time we'll read in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Paul said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We are living sacrifices. We serve God first. We are living sacrifices. We live, we serve God first. We sacrifice. We're willing to give up everything that we have because we know that this is the most important thing. Service to God. My servant, as God called Jesus Christ. We walk that walk as well, don't we? We walk that walk as well. Gets us back to a statement made earlier. We are called to understand things that are very different. Our lives are not normal lives. They're different lives. We live in sacrifice to God and to Jesus Christ. And this gets back to the concept that we talked about, this concept of humility. That we need to have humility, and like Jesus Christ did, who set the example for us. Three things humble people have. Now, again, they probably have more than three things, but three things I have noted here that humble people have. A humble person isn't looking for people to serve him or her, but is serving others. Don't look for people to serve us. People do. People serve us, help us, take care of us. You know, we help each other, don't we? We help each other. We're in this together. I'm working on a message that, involves basically Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. That we are the household of God. We are in this together. It's a message that I'll give sometime if it comes together. Didn't come together for today. This did. So, but we are involved in serving others and serving each other and helping each other. And if any of us, I know that if I had a need, I could count on any of you to come help. I know that. We help each other in that way. We are in this together. We do that and help each other in that way. Luke chapter 22. Back to the book of Luke chapter 22. And we'll begin reading in verse 24. Luke chapter 22. And verse 24. Luke 22 and verse 24 says, Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them is considered the greatest. Now that's not a real humble approach to things. You know, we might have a discussion with us here sometimes. Which of us is the greatest? Now, you know, we might ask the question, the greatest what? The greatest fisherman? That's what would be in question. Which of us is the greatest? It says, and he said, he, Christ, said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is the greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at a table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you, Christ said, as one who serves. Christ, again, setting here an example of humility. Christ said, I am among you as one who serves. know, we need to be among each other as one who serves, don't we? As one who serves. That's what we do. We serve God. We serve each other. The second thing that a humble person, humble people have, a humble person has a godly perspective of him or herself. We've talked about that a little bit earlier. A humble person has a godly perspective of him or herself. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 9. Here we see Paul's attitude as he dealt with this particular question. Paul's attitude in verse 9 says, "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of Christ." But it just shows you the attitude that Paul had. Now we can go back to the book of Acts. We talked a little bit about the execution of Stephen, the martyrdom of Stephen, and Saul saw that, was involved with that. Saul before he became Paul. We can see that, and yet, you know, Paul admitted and recognized that. He persecuted the church. And he said, "I am the least of the apostles." And sometimes we need to put ourselves in those positions and to recognize and have a godly perspective of ourselves. Point the third thing a humble person has a Christ-like perspective. You know, we've discussed that Christ came to serve. We saw that. Christ came to serve. We saw in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. So we need to walk the walk. We need to walk the walk. Point number four, final point for today, serve where the opportunities are. Serve where the opportunities are, where the need is. All of us can pitch in every day, every week, here. You know, we can pitch in and help out. There always are needs, things that need done. You know, we need to serve where God puts us to serve, don't we? We have opportunities. You know, we serve and have opportunities. We serve our families. We serve as, you know, grandmas and grandpas, many of us. We serve as moms and dads. We serve as children, parents. Variety of ways that we serve and we can serve. We serve as spouses, as husbands and wives. We serve in that way, but we also serve each other, don't we? Help each other in every way that we can to serve each other. Matthew chapter 20, we can serve each other in many ways, and there are many opportunities to help out. Every week here at services, there are service opportunities. Every week there are phone calls that can be made, cards that can be written. Some people are very good at those things. I'm probably not as good as I need to be personally. Some people are very good at sending cards, making phone calls, following up on things. We can serve in that way. We can serve each other on our knees, praying for each other. That's a wonderful way that we can serve and help each other, to pray for one another. Matthew chapter 20, and we'll begin reading in verse 20. says, then the mother of Zebedee's sons, now again, this is a story that all of us, many of us, I'm sure, have read. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, what do you wish? And she said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left, in your kingdom. And Jesus answered, verse 22, and said, do you not know, or rather, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said to him, we are able. And he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom the Father, for whom it is prepared by my Father. Verse 24, and when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles, verse 25, lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet, verse 26, it shall not be so among you. It shall not be so among you. Let him be your servant. Let him be your servant. We need to serve each other. Let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Verse 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, as we read the account in Mark earlier. So we're here to serve, and there are opportunities and plenty of them to serve, aren't there? There are plenty of opportunities for us to serve God and to serve each other. But verse 23 says, you know, it's up to God, isn't it? It's up to God. God will provide us opportunities. We need to step in and serve when we can. Three things to consider. Three things to consider. You know, everyone should serve. Everyone should serve. And we should ask God, how can I serve? You know, we serve family and husbands and wives and children. You know, ask each other how you can help. Ask each other how you can help. We serve at work, and we can serve at school. There are plenty of opportunities to serve, and we should all serve. Point number two, this is an important point. Nothing should be below us. Nothing should be beneath us. We should not have an attitude of, well, I'm too big, or I'm too great, or that's not a service area for me. We should be willing to do whatever needs done. Point number three, service often goes unrecognized. Service often goes unrecognized. You know, we talked earlier about, you know, that stick out your hand and shake theirs and thank them for their service. That doesn't happen to us. Doesn't happen to us. Matthew chapter 6. Service often goes unrecognized. In Matthew chapter 6, here in the Sermon on the Mount, very important principle, one that I've read numerous times, and we've read numerous times from the lectern. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1 through 4 says, verse 1 says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen of them. So when we serve, we don't serve to be seen. We serve because God has given us a heart of purpose, a heart to serve Him. He has given us His Holy Spirit, and God called Jesus Christ my servant. We're His servants. And we serve Him not to be seen, but because we have a heart to serve. Otherwise, it says, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do, or as in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, when you do a service, you do a charitable deed, do not let the left hand know what the right hand does or is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will himself reward you openly. So we're to do our service because God has given us a heart to serve. So, brethren, we have many opportunities to serve, don't we? We have many opportunities to serve. Jesus Christ set us an example. Jesus Christ walked the walk. We need to walk the walk and serve as we have opportunity. Christ came to serve. God called him my servant. Let's finally turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. Don't usually turn to this particular scripture in relationship to service, but it is interesting to reflect on it in that light. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. This is a scripture that we often read during the Feast of Tabernacles, during the fall holy days. Revelation chapter 20 verse 4 says, I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and they had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. That's a destiny that we have. Living and reigning and serving. Living, reigning. Reigning has to do with service, not with lording it over, as we know, but it has to do with service. Christ did not come to be served, but to serve. Reigning has to do with service. It's a very high calling. We're called to understand things that are very different. We understand this. It's a very high calling to be called by God to be serving, to be servants of His. So Jesus Christ came to serve. He walked the walk. We need to walk the walk. Serve God and one another.